Triple M Football is the number one football call on radio. And your front row. Welcome to the Friday Rub.
For McDonald's fan feed boxes.
Triple M rocks football.
Yes, welcome to Etihad Stadium. Friday night going to be enormous. In fact, I think I'm right in saying the first time ever that the first and second teams on the ladder have played under the roof on Friday night here at Etihad Stadium. North Melbourne, the Western Bulldogs, as I said, going to be a beauty. And the best team in the business are here to help you get through the next couple of hours and then rip into the game. BT, on a Friday night, magnificent to see you, Bristol.
Yes, very happy to be here, Jim. Looking forward to this game tonight between these two mobs just to sort out where they're at.
That's it. Damo, nice to see you on a Friday night.
Hello, JB. And North get the Bulldogs in the right mode tonight, don't they, with those injuries to key players. And while the bookmakers say North win, Jim, I think they really have to, for what it's worth, given the omissions from the Dogs.
The Big Duke, you know the Dogs better than anyone in this room. Are the omissions as important as Damo's saying?
You'd love to have them, no doubt about it, but I think, and a lot of sides want to do this, but I know one of the big things about the way Luke Beveridge coaches is that you just replace like for like, and you've got a system, you've got team defence, you've got team attack, and he wouldn't have been concerned about it at all. Roll in another player and see how it goes. When you sit there as an emotional supporter and you're barring, oh, wouldn't you love to see Johannesson and Bob Murphy back and even Suckling, but every surely, side gets injuries.
Surely each pick, it's a step down in quality, though. I mean, it's easy to say they played
correct.
The plan.
And, no, absolutely. Yeah. You test your depth and you go into reserves, and they lost another kid called Pruden, who probably would have been the next player who would have been playing today as well. So their depth will be questioned. I think they'll give a really good account of themselves, though, Jim.
Brought a tall in to replace one of the defenders coming out.
Fletcher Roberts, which you need to with the way North Melbourne's forward line, Jim, is functioning at the moment with Petrie and Ben Brown and Waite playing great footy. They needed an extra tall defender. That'll test them tonight.
And just from a supporter base, Jim, this place nearly needs to be filled tonight. I mean, with these sides travelling the way that they have been, for them putting their hand up, both sides wanting these marquee games, etc., etc., this tonight, who's the home game, is it?
North.
This is a chance for both of these sides to draw anything over 40,000, I think, is probably a good result.
You reckon that's the cut-off point, the over and under line, the 40,000
If it's under 40,000, it's just
I tend to agree with you, BT, and it is it's a good point you raise, because these two clubs, Jim, and you might be able to shed some more recent light on this, that they want to play, don't they, next year on Good Friday? Or at least there are candidates to play. I mean, I know Carlton's in the mix as well, but North Melbourne has driven that debate, and the Bulldogs would like to be part of that that picture.
I must admit, I was very concerned, Bristol, when I was driving around town at midday today and it was hosing down, because this is our home ground as it is the Dogs. And we always find when you play at night here, if it's raining, it makes no sense at all to me, because there's a roof and people can still come and enjoy it. But it cuts your crowd enormously, because people obviously use public transport and they tend to think, well, it's the rain's around, I won't go. But now it's beautiful, absolutely perfect outside, so there's no reason why anyone wouldn't come.
What about the increase in ticket prices that you guys have put up? You've put the tickets up, admittedly, that most members already have them and they're coming anyway, so they're not affected.
It's only a specific seat too, I think, that's affected by that. So I think most people will be fine. And I'm with you. 40,000, I think, is an absolute minimum. You're seeing the best two teams in the comp. They certainly teams that play an unbelievably exciting brand of footy. So you're going to see the scoreboard hit and the ball ping around and all the things we love about footy. So I agree. There's absolutely no reason, if you're a fan of footy and these two clubs, you wouldn't be here tonight. Duke, just looking into this game, because I haven't seen the Dogs live yet this year, I had no idea that they were as good a contested footy side as they are. I must admit, I had this perception, which I think a lot of people have, that they ping the thing around and they run from behind and you've got this beautiful overlap, beautiful leg speed and get you on the outside. But the contested footy numbers are double nearly the next best team.
Yeah, they're off the charts, Jim. They had 35 more contested possessions than the Hawks in the third quarter in that game where Bob Murphy did his knee in the last quarter. Unheard of. It just doesn't happen. And I think you're right. People are focused on, that they do free will and they play on really quickly, but Tom Nwitore, who had a year out of the game, he's as good at that.
Incredible.
Just behind Mitchell, maybe as good as anyone in the game. Mitch Wallace is a star at contested football. You can throw in Kobe Stevens. Dalhouse, you watch him play tonight, he's one of my favourite players I've ever seen. Bontempelli does that really well. So they have got a group of players that really value that part of the game.
So is this a Luke Beveridge absolute non-negotiable that they have to be good in this?
He coaches that way, Bristol. He's got a handful of things in an understated way that if you're not capable of doing, you just don't get a game. And it's very clear. The players have got total understanding. If you don't buy into team defence, you don't buy into forward pressure, and you don't do that, then it's very clear that you don't play, regardless of what your reputation is. And there's players probably at the moment you think, well, that's strange. He's not getting a game. And that would be the reason why.
Well, that's where the fascination is for me tonight, Brian. You're going to be calling the game, but anyone who knows how North Melbourne play footy knows that the whole thing's based around winning the ball at the source. And I always say to you, Damo, and everyone else, if you've got your little AFL Live app in your phone and you when you follow the stats during a game, we are close to the easiest team of all time to follow, because if we're losing contested, we lose the game.
So who's your
99 times
who
out of 100.
Who are your best three at it?
Cunnington, Zeeble, Swallow.
Goldstein best. Helps a little bit too, Goldie, Jim, obviously. Having the genius that he
we're
is.
We're going to speak to Goldie soon, or you boys are, by
I'm
the
looking
way.
Forward to that, because he's just turned himself into... He kicks goals now. His follow-up work is so good. Better player than I ever thought he was going to be.
Still a part of the ground, isn't it, that the Bulldogs, at least on paper, seem to be lacking in, and yet it doesn't affect them when it's all said and done. Jordan Roughhead's going to have the role tonight.
Yeah, Tom Campbell will do a little bit of it as well, and I think Roughhead will just play really close attention. What I like about the Roughhead matchup is that he's played full back, so you need to be a good defender to play on Goldstein, because he'll try and kick three or four goals tonight. And
or five, as he did three
as he's
ago.
Done before. So Roughhead will be have his work cut out, but he's capable of at least running with him around the ground.
And the thing with Goldie Duke is he's an aerobic animal, so where he gets blokes often he's late in the game, late third quarter and last quarter he just works them over, and then in the end he can take those contested marks down the line and all the stuff, because the bloke he's on, who's often carrying 15 more kilos, is blown up.
And that's what I love about the fact that that is something in your armour, that he stays out there, he runs everyone into the ground, and with the rotation cap now, people are reluctant to carry two big ruckmen if they're not good players. That's great. I'm glad that people have got that advantage now, and he uses it better than anyone.
If you went, Brian, to a bookmaker in 2013 and said that within 3 years at round six, North Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs will be 1-2 on the ladder on a Friday night, you would have got sizable odds.
Name your price.
You could have. Yep. You would have 50s, I reckon you would have got. Because at that stage, the Dogs were finished their prelim final run. They'd been a real good side, but were coming off that. And Kangaroos had emptied, we'd emptied our whole bloody list out, and no one knew what was going on down there as far as from the outside looking in. So it's a great story, I reckon.
It is an unbelievable story to be where they're at now. And for, that's why I'm interested over the next 5 weeks, I guess, to see whether both these sides can hang in there.
Yep.
I think they can. I think five weeks is enough work, I reckon, to judge a team. I reckon 5 weeks of footy, and what you get now, you should be able to make a decision on who's good and who's not good in the competition right now.
And BT, the two clubs obviously come together, 1 and 2 on the ladder. There's a perception, and I think it's valid, that North is toward the end of whatever successful period it's got, and yet the Bulldogs may well be at the absolute beginning. Do you subscribe to that, or do you think North can rejig them no matter what happens?
Well, go through the ages and who have they got retiring. I mean, Darcy, I'm not sure who the Bulldogs have got up for retirement in the next year or two.
But Dale Morris at some stage, but he's going well against
Matthew
Darcy.
Boyd is probably the other one. Bob Murphy now, becomes a 50-50 probably.
Whereas you go through North Melbourne, they've probably got a few, Damo, haven't they, coming up?
8 or 9 over there.
Yeah, over the next, say, 2 years, 3 years, they've probably got a few. So... And I think when you look at the stats, they are either the first or the second oldest side in the competition.
And Jim, Boomer doesn't help us with that.
No, that's true.
take 60, him out and 65. Drops back a bit.
I'm reluctant to pump you up, Jim, because it goes against almost everything we stand for here on Triple M. But
he
I think
pumps himself up enough too,
correct. He's got to more than enough of his own self-confidence to do it. But along the way, you've copped some ripping cheap shots from people in the industry about the club and about what you could or may not have done. The reality is that this is a very successful club that's played in finals, it's well managed, it's got their finances sorted out, their membership sorted out, got an unbelievable deal in Tasman, and suddenly you're the top of the ladder, Jim. And you know what? It must make you feel very proud to turn up here tonight. Is this your last year?
Last year. So, broke the club record for membership yesterday.
Mate, it is an extraordinary time. And you know what it makes me think about? If you get a few of those things right and you draft well and you get good people in good places, you absolutely a chance to be a good team.
So why are you calling it your last year?
Because at our club, constitutionally, you get 3 stints as the chairman, and then you must, by constitutional law, hand over.
Has that always been
which
the case?
I don't mind, by the way.
Some clubs change the constitution, Jim.
Have you thought about that?
No,
I'm sensing a bit of Jeff Kennett style missing out from our man here tonight. I think he'd like to go on another 6 or 7 years.
JB, I put it to you. If you make another prelim final this year, or finals, and you go okay, and then you miss the granny or you miss the premiership, you would want to be there as the chairman for the next year.
Not about me, bro.
You
want
to be there, though, Jim.
It's about the club and...
It's about being the premiership anything.
You know what I reckon would happen? If let's say that happens this year and then North Melbourne next year win it, I think you'd see Jim sitting in the... Who was that long play? Where you'd have your sunnies on, he'd be down in the dumps, and he'd be very unhappy that it wasn't him out there.
Mark Blake?
Mark Blake. That's what I reckon would happen next year.
Were every single moon to align, Bristol? Every single moon to align. And I don't want anyone jumping through their radio and getting all carried away. It's only around six. We've got plenty of stuff to go, so we're not getting carried away. But were every moon to align, I'm doing the whole lap. Ron,
could you?
The whole way around I'm going.
Well, Darce and I will be down there. Yeah. We'll be commentating.
I will throw something.
I reckon I'll get stuff thrown at me the whole circumference and it won't matter.
Eddie's only done about 20 years, Jim. You're cutting it short after what,
18
seven or
years.
Eight.
So what happens in their constitution?
I don't know. Every club's different, Bristol. Right. But Ben Buckley will take over from me. He'll be a brilliant chairman. We've got a nice transition succession plan happening. And I think it's healthy for us. We're going to get a new set of eyes and a new setup coming through, and it'll be brilliant. And maybe I'll be able to see my kids a little more often.
Are you going to go and speak at the function?
Yeah.
What are you going to wow them with tonight?
Do you write your own stuff?
Up and down, Bristol. Tonight, I often really sizzle, but tonight, so up and down.
In amongst the old boring, welcome sponsor here and sponsor three and sponsor four, do you throw in a little zinger?
Something that
might get a little giggle?
Not often. Just tick the boxes, Brian, right, and then get down.
That's
and
not
the
way you roll, mate. Let's be honest. That is not.
Have you got a person that does all the
Heath O'Loughlin?
All the crap work, like there's the toilets and the raffle.
Yeah.
Someone does that.
Craig the Voice Willis. Oh, the Voice. He will run the room, Brian, and he'll do an unbelievable
Rumors
good job with it.
Sweeping the football world about the Voice.
Well, I get the feeling you're behind the bellows of those.
Have
rumors,
you undermined the Voice?
Are you pushing those rumours forward?
You haven't taken some of his gigs, have you?
I'm hearing things.
This is a man who's very protective of his turf.
Having said that, he was back out in the middle of the G last Monday, which said to me that that had a little making up.
Yeah, I don't think that the centre of the ground's the Voice's problem. No. I think there are some real heavy corporate lunch style jobs.
Good
that
earners.
You might have just walked in and taken off him, Brian.
I think Darson Haymo might be just on the gobble there,
not gobbling up the odd. There's a bit of crossover happening there, Jim. I think
there could be a story that Bristol's just done a little deal. Maybe just got sideways with Birchie and said, what's on the table here that I can help myself to?
Let's put it this way. He spends a lot of time in his car, not in the office of these people. Wayne Swass also joining us this evening. Swatter, good evening and welcome to you.
Hello, Brian. Hello, boys. Looking forward to this. Two deserved top-of-the-table teams, Brian. Mm.
Swatter, I'm just looking at the big screen up there now. Yep. 1998, 1v2,
yep.
Dogs versus the Kangaroos. Were you out there?
No, he wasn't.
You were gone at that stage, right?
Yeah, I was taking a big truckload of cash.
Remember, missed that final with Dennis Potter.
My date's set. You know who kicks the winning goal here?
Game 38.
Can you believe it?
Yep.
Still running around the little champ now. Mm.
Just on these two sides, not wanting to, dampen the spirit
of the
party.
You've been dismissive about these two teams for a long time.
It's just that the Bulldogs haven't beaten anyone in the top eight, I don't think. They've Fremantle, St Kilda, Carlton, Brisbane. They lost to Hawthorn by 3 points. Close game, admittedly. And North Melbourne, they have beaten Adelaide. But then, of course, Brisbane, Melbourne, Fremantle, Gold Coast, perhaps.
What are you saying?
Well, I'm just wondering, how true is the form?
We're about to find out.
How good is it, Swatter?
Well, you can only beat who you fixed it to play, Brian.
Well, I'm just saying, we're getting excited about these two sides, and Darce is wrapping them up, and he's having kittens about how good they are, and JB's all that excited. He's
Brian's
gone off
up
to do
about Darce because the Pies beat the under-12s last week.
You can only look at the ladder and be 1 and 2, Bruce. I'm not sure what else you can do to get excited. If you want to take the wind out of tonight,
the whole
footy world is sitting excited about it.
I'm excited about it.
You sound up.
Perhaps they've had easy draws.
Well, that's not their fault, though.
No.
Well, Adelaide's a good result.
Say that. We've got a top-of-the-table clash tonight, but these sides have had easy draws. Go on, say that if you believe it.
But we don't know what was easy and what was hard. Fremantle round one, having won 17 games last year, was an enormous...
Spot on.
And now the Adelaide Crows are a hard game.
Now he's looking for some support, Damo.
Adelaide in round one is a better result now than it was in round one for North Melbourne BT. And Melbourne... The narrow win against Melbourne is probably a better outcome than it was thought to be.
What Adelaide did to North last year, round one, Damo.
Yes, round one and over there in footy park.
We're waiting on Big Goldie. He's not all that far away down there on the boundary line, so I'll be checking in with Todd Goldstein in a moment. He has had a cracking year following on from last year, Darce, hasn't he?
He's taken his game, I reckon, another level this year with the goals. It just adds so much more, and you get a lot more credit. I think you should. And you're a lot more nervous if you're side planning tonight. And that will be a bit of a challenge for the Bulldogs tonight. Ruffhead will play in there. But whenever you've got a big man, Swatter, who you think could kick five, and he's done it once this year, I think he kicked three another game as well, you start to get nervous.
Well, I mean, your craft was rucking. If you were the Bulldogs' main man tonight, what would your strategy be, given the influence of Toddy?
Well, I would be going with Ruffhead for a fair bit of it. Campbell come in and do a little bit because he's such a powerful runner, and he's a good forward. I think he could actually play forward pretty well. Mm. He doesn't need to because they've got it. So you need someone who can defend. So you want to be on him when he defends. You'd like to try and get him down the other end of the ground as well. So I don't think he'd be all that comfortable running around at centre-half back. So I'd be wanting to run both ways. But he runs very well, so that will be a challenge. And his ruck craft is good. His follow-up is good. And he's just in all-time great form all round.
A lot of talk about Stringer in the first couple of weeks. How's he been the last three, Dust, you reckon?
They're just down a little bit, I reckon, from, you know, kicked 56 goals last year. There's a fair bit more expectation. Last year, everything he did, everyone was like, wow, you've got to see this kid play. I don't think you've helped pumping him up beyond all proportions and blowing him out, calling him the package and making his head blow off your shoulder. So I partly blame you. But I think now he's out there and opposition putting their best defender on him every single week. He's getting double teamed at times. So look, I don't think they're concerned about him, but he's probably not quite what he was just at this stage last year.
Now, listen, we're going to go down to the big Goldie. Of course, we all remember Ash Chew was given the opportunity to go and interview West Coast coach Don Pike. Don Pike last week and really blew it open with his first question. It wasn't a great one. It was weather style.
Right.
He's down there with Goldie, Ash Chew. He's got a second opportunity. This is it for you, Ash. You've got two questions, mate. And as we welcome big Goldie, take it away.
Yeah, thanks, thanks, BT. I've got the 2015 BNF winner and All-Australian in Todd Goldstein. Todd, Friday night football, massive game. There's been a big build-up this week. Feels like a mini-final. But tell us what it means to you to play Friday night footy.
Yeah, no, great question, Chew. I think, you know, playing Friday night footy, it's where the club wants to be. It's where we belong. We started it all those years ago, and, you know, it's the opportunity that, you know, both clubs here, and especially us, have been asking for and wanting, and, you know, to get four or five chances this year is a great result for the club.
And where do you think the improvement has come about this year in 2016? You're sitting five wins on top of the table.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of consistency and a bit of maturity. I think, you know, you look at a number of the games we've won so far this year, I think, you know, we would have dropped two or three of them last year just through lack of inexperience, lack of composure and consistency. So I think that's been the main difference this year for us.
Hey, Goldie, congratulations on your form, and it's been sensational, really dominant. Do you feel like you've taken your game to another level this year, and adding goals regularly must be something that pleases you?
Yeah, definitely. It's just about trying to find different ways to impact the game. I think, you know, the last few years my ruck work has been quite good, and, you know, I've had gone dropped in and out of games. So it's just about trying to have more impact, and whether that's kicking goals or taking marks, I'm not too fussed. It's just about, you know, having that impact.
And you sense everyone's coming after you when you're the main man and you're the reigning All-Australian, and there's a lot of homework being put into the way you've played. Is that something you think about, or you say, bring them all on, I've got them all covered anyway?
Yeah, it's not something I worry about too much. I think my strengths are definitely my follow-up and my pressure and things like that, and that doesn't matter who I'm coming against, whether it's, you know, a 7-foot ruckman or it's a 5-foot ruckman. It doesn't really matter. They're sort of things that, you know, you can't take away from me.
Goldie, Benny Jacobs will just settle up to the bont for the opening bounce?
No, I'm not too sure yet. He might. I think he might run through a few different players. I'm not too sure. I think the coach has stayed quite tight-lipped about it, and I think we'll find out in about half an hour's time.
Just how nerve-wracking is it, big Goldie? Normally it would be Dennis Cometti or Bruce McAvaney or Eddie Maguire or Chompers Tony Jones or someone coming at you with a big name, and you've got the little two-man presenting.
Yeah, look, there's always pressure. He could probably headbutt me in the abdomen at the moment, so you're not too sure what's going to come from him next.
Hey, Todd, just back on to yourself and the mindset that you've now had for your football, at least for the past 3 or 4 years, of really demanding and wanting and looking forward to being the main man at North when it comes to the ruck position. You will get some help, as always, from Brown and Petrie, but how has that, I suppose, evolved, and how crucial has it been to you to get to the status you've now got in the AFL?
Yeah, I think it's been a slow build. I think each year I've sort of, you know, achieved a little bit more and performed a little bit more consistently. I think the confidence has definitely grown, and I think everything, my whole game has built from there. I think, you know, when I first got the club, I was a very confident player, and if I had a bad game, I'd lose it very fast. So
it's just about trying to stay focused on what I do well, and you know, I think that's held me in good stead so far. That, you know, if I have a bad contest, a bad quarter, that's not going to sum up my game. I'm going to make sure that the next one I come out harder and do better, and that's sort of the basis of my game and why I've been able to play consistently.
So tonight, Goldie, what stage of the prep are you at right now? Where are you at?
Yeah, we've just done our priming session, so just a bit of activation and a bit of goal kicking and things like that. So just go. I'll head back down in the rooms after this and get a little bit more tape applied to the ankles and things like that, and just start to mentally prepare for the game.
And Goldie, having been in the North Melbourne rooms, the music's a big part. Yes. Down there. Who's DJ at the moment? What sort of tunes are you listening to down there?
Yeah, I think it's Zeebs is still there, although I think they get a bit on Spotify a bit as well, and just let it play through that, I think.
Okay.
It's usually Zeebs or our trainer, Jonas Eagle. They're the two that usually control the phone.
Favourites to take out the NBA this year? Who?
Oh, I think the Spurs at the moment, the way they're looking.
Paddy Mills has hit a bit of good form recently.
Yeah, he always steps up for the finals. It's good to see.
Very nice. Goldie, good luck tonight.
Cheers. Thanks, boys.
The Tigers, I see they announced some sort of review going on there, Damo. What are they actually doing internally?
Not sure it's been announced, BT, but they are certainly taking a very, very close look at their operations. And that comes on the back of what they did in the off-season, looking specifically into Damien Hardwick. They obviously branched out a little bit further than just him. But at the same time, that review was primarily to determine, was he the right man to take this club forward? And they made that decision, and they're sticking by that. So we know that he's contracted to the end of this year and the add-on of 2 years, 2017 and 18. But what they're now doing, BT, and I think it's justified and it may well be overdue, is having a really close look at their structure around Damien Hardwick. It includes the assistant coaches, it includes the recruiting setups, and it's going to have a particularly close look, I believe, BT, on development as well, which hasn't been a strong suit of Richmond. And look, it'll be done quietly. I don't expect them to make any public statement about this, but there will be internal discussions that'll be tabled at the highest levels, and they'll certainly seek to learn something out of what the review dishes up.
Who are a few of those assistants they've got down there at the moment, Damo?
Well, there's two guys by the name of Mark Williams, and one's well known to the public, and one is a lesser light. You've also got Brendan Lade, the former Port Adelaide ruckman. So there are a couple of the names. And look, they're all being looked at. As happens when a club opens the season, as the Tigers have done, in a 1-4 situation, and yet again on the back of three...
Is it as dramatic as that, or is this a specific thing that's happened directly resulted because they're 1-4? Or look, from my point of view in footy clubs, they're doing that constantly and just every minute of the day, everyone's been scrutinised, reviewed, and I'm sure the whole setup and structure, they would have had assistant coaches that are in contract up until the year, would be nothing they could have done about that. They probably had plans in place for 18 months to try and recruit other assistant coaches. So, you know, it sounds dramatic, but is that just natural?
I'm not trying to make it dramatic, and I didn't present it that way last night either on the footy show.
I'm not saying you're hyping that up, but if you're listening to that, you sort of say, oh, there's a review going on and something, you know, drastic has just happened, or is it normal businesses do footy clubs?
Again, you know the workings of footy club. You're very instrumental in what happened at one of the two clubs out here tonight and the way they operate. Look, as a journo, you hear these things, you check it out, and then you present it to the public. It is going on. Now, look, it wouldn't be going on if they were 4-1, put it that way. So the results have got something to do with it.
It's results-driven?
Yeah, it's results-driven. They're certainly not happy, Dust, and it's a bit like the Fremantle situation, that they didn't plan for their coach last Monday on the rub, BT, to start talking about rewiring, replumbing, and whatever else they're doing in a re-sense. But Richmond didn't expect to be 1-4 now either, and that is on the back of the review they had into Damien Hardwick specifically, and it did branch out, as I said, but it was specifically to determine, was he the right man? And they're comfortable with that decision, by the way. They actually think they've got that part of it okay, but he needs help, and at the moment there is a view, and again, I don't expect them to say anything about this, but there is a view that they do need to do some work on how they've got it structured around him.
So who looks at that? Is that a board member, or is that someone from within the footy department?
It's all of that. Yeah. And I reckon they will be going outside it a bit too, BT. Right. Just getting some friends of the club, be that official consultancy firm or just people who know football, know that club, and are able to make questions or ask questions and maybe even make determinations or suggestions that are sometimes easier to make from being outside the club itself.
I would have thought, Damo, that, given your involvement with the Bulldogs, that if you're going through that process of working out whether or not Damien Hardwick or anybody else in that position is the right man, then part of that review is to also look at who's around him. Because you make that decision, you stamp that decision at the end of the year, and we're 4 months down the track, and now they're starting to question it.
Well, yeah, potentially. I mean, I think Craig McRae came into a role as development coach, and you know, sometimes, Swat, you're going to identify things, but you need time to make them work because of contract situations, and who's around and who's available. You might want to change and go and headhunt four people, but if they're not available and they're in contract, sometimes these things take a little bit of time. So I'm assuming there's a little bit of that happening at Tigerland. Tim Watson's got this theory from an NFL point of view and watching American sport. They sack assistant coaches over there routinely, as you guys know who follow it. So if the defensive line coach for is not doing the job, he's out. And he's I'm not linking this to Richmond, by the way, but when there will come a time to say, hey, we've got a defensive coach at a club, you know, call it the Bulldogs, their defensive's not working. He's gone. Out.
Yeah.
He's out when there will be more accountability to the assistant coaches, and it probably makes a bit of sense, though.
Just quickly, Squatter, 15 wins last year, the Tigers. Yep. They can only afford to lose three games for the rest of the year to equal their 15 wins of last year. Can that be achieved by them?
Based on what I've seen, no.
No. So they're cooked.
Yep.
For this year.
And from a list point of view, I think that there are other clubs that are outside of the eight that are actually a better position.
Is it possible, Squatter, they got the best out of that group? I mean, you know, that was a side that won 13 out of 15 last year. They've played in finals the last couple of years. I don't think it's a very talented list of players at all.
And I think they've reached the ceiling, Das.
And they get smashed for their game style, but I don't think they've got the cattle to play the game style that Adelaide Crows are playing, all the Bulldogs are playing. There are a lot of players that
certainly
are defensive.
Haven't got the foot skills.
No, or the kicking skills to do it. So I think Damien Hardwick set up a game style that got that group to a pretty good situation.
Yep.
And now it's starting to show that there are some cracks there, and I'm not sure that it's altogether, you know, not unreasonable where they're at.
They've got Port Adelaide, obviously, on the weekend, tomorrow night, and they probably get them at a good time, don't they, with the omissions that have been made with Gray and Wingard in particular there, and also Trengo being suspended, Schwarter. So, look, they may well end up out of this weekend 2-4, and we know that they've got a history, of, as Das just alluded to, of getting themselves out of those situations. But look, I'm not saying it's absolute doom and gloom, but they are in a position they did not predict themselves to be in when they did do that initial review on Damien Hardwick.
All right, well, let's move on, boys. Anyone here ever had a bong?
Sorry?
You had a bong?
What's that?
Well, I'm asking you, Darcy. Have you ever bonged on?
I grew up in Adelaide. I'm
still got black and white TV over there, Darcy.
Yeah, that's right.
Have you ever had one in a gas mask, though, BT? It's probably the question you're trying to get to, isn't it?
This is where we're getting to. The NFL today. For those that haven't seen it, you're all over this, Damo, and you watched it all transpire today. Tell us exactly what happened. This is in reference to bonging on.
A young man by the name of, I've probably got the wrong pronunciation here, but Laremy Tunsil, from the University of Mississippi.
By the way, we don't condone any of this, naturally, don't
No,
we?
Naturally. You don't even need to say that, but I wouldn't have thought. But he was touted as a very high draft pick. In the end, he went number 13. But what happened to him, guys? You haven't caught up with this. Within about 10 minutes before the draft started, and it's one of the big events in the American sporting calendar.
This is an incredible story, this, by the way, Dave. I'm fascinated by this.
There was a video posted.
It's huge, isn't it? Like, it's 300 massive. Million people in America. How many of you watching it? 100?
Probably not 100 million, no, but... Many Quite million,
massive television event, the draft.
It's massive. And it was run live in Australia as we, you know, we sports fans watch. And, yeah, within 10 minutes of it starting, on his own social media account, there was a video of him doing this gas mask with a bong attached to it, BT. Mm-hmm. And clearly inhaling it and then taking the mask off, and you can see it's him now.
So someone's hijacked his Twitter account, sat on this until the draft for a couple. Understand he's going to be one of the top three picks, and then 15 minutes before the draft has just gone and blown this young man out of the water. And what's happened, so instead of being pick one, two, or three, he's drifted in the...
He's just out. He wasn't going to be one or two. The two quarterbacks went one and two, and that had been speculated upon for some time. But he fell down to 13. And just, again, reading the US sites as I do and others do, the number one pick will most likely get a deal around about $25 million for being number one. That will be over a couple of years. But when you slide down to number 13, it's about $12 million. So the sliding scale has affected him. He's ended up being picked up by the Miami Dolphins, which is a team notorious for picking up people with questionable behaviour. But, yeah, look, they claim, now whether they're just recreating history or retrofitting their actions, but they claim that they knew of the video, that it was 2 years old, and they'd seen it or been made aware of it.
Who, Miami did?
Yeah. And whether that's
that
the case or not,
it, was it, but, to try and get him further down, was it?
Well, I suppose you need to ask that question, don't you?
So there's a chance that that tweet bristle has cost that man $15 million or somewhere around the vicinity, closer to $20 million Australian dollars. It's extraordinary, isn't it?
American sport. It gives you angles you would never foresee.
What about and you, look, Brian, have you pulled one back?
No, no.
In the days, Mandurah?
I think I had one early on, and it made me sick. I never went back there.
So was it a Bill Clinton style? Yeah,
about 12, I think it was. it's a rather remarkable thing. I can't ever see it happening in the Australian sport. But it could be the old conspiracy theory from the Dolphins. You never know, don't
push him down. Get him cheaper and get him, most importantly.
Joining us live in the commentary box here at Etihad Stadium, Matt Suckling is with us after his injury scare of last week. Matty, welcome to you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
It certainly looked like a knee, and in the end you escaped the major knee concern, and it's the ankle.
Yeah, I was just saying before that I thought I'd done my knee again. So, it's obviously frustrating to miss footy, but silver lining is that I'll be back in a few weeks.
So a couple of weeks, what's the actual diagnosis of the ankle?
I think it's a high ankle sprain, so a bit higher than your normal ankle ligaments. And just in a moon boot at the moment, let it settle down and then get back into it.
Hey, Suggs, tell us about your decision to move over to the Bulldogs, having won two premierships in a row. What was the main thought behind it?
There's a few reasons. Probably had a good relationship with Bevo, and we see eye to eye on a lot of footy matters. And I saw last year how attacking the Bulldogs were, and looked like good fun, and thought I could fit in to the side. And sort of could see that probably become a better player, and that's what I hope to do here.
And are you feeling at the start that's all worked out well? It looked like you've gelled really well on the game style, and your ability to kick the ball just seems perfect for that pattern. Has it worked out the way that you would have hoped?
The first four rounds, it was pretty good. obviously had a few wins, and playing here at Etihad every week is nice for kicking the footy and getting on the outside.
Just coming across as you are a celebrated premiership-winning player into a group which was challenging to do that, but didn't have the self-belief that it actually could. What role have you played in that regard?
I don't know. I suppose just over the pre-season, it's all about preparation, and with a young group, just teaching the things about consistency. And in AFL, you need to be consistent and do it week in, week out to give yourself a chance. And I think that's what we've done the first few rounds. We've played good, hard footy, and hopefully it can continue.
When you make a decision to go to another club, there's generally somebody that surprises you. You think you know them because you play at them fairly consistently. Which is the teammate that has surprised you the most? Not so much on game day, but during the course of a week.
Probably Kobe Stevens. Probably saw it last week firsthand how good he was. And through the pre-season, just intra-club matches, how hard he was and stuff like that. And just how much he loves playing footy and loves the club. So he was probably the bloke that took me back the most.
And just when you arrive from a team that's won four premierships and you go to a team that hasn't won a premiership for many, many years, what's the immediate difference in atmosphere like? What's it feel like?
Initially, it's a lot younger. There's a lot more kids and wives and families at Hawthorn. And the boys here are 21, 20, all out chasing girls. And that's probably the initial difference.
Hey, did you feel your opportunities at Hawthorn were limited, and that was part of your motivation to come to the Bulldogs?
Maybe. It's probably last year I found myself a little bit on the outer, but that was probably to my own doing. I wasn't playing great footy. Put my hand up and say that. And changed roles halfway through the year and played a little bit forward, a little bit more wing. And I saw an opportunity at the Bulldogs to maybe get a little bit more half back, and it's worked out so far.
By the way, Matty, on that answer to the last question, do you see yourself fitting in with the younger guys and doing what they're doing, or where are you placed at there?
I'm somewhere in the middle, yeah.
Just had a little spring in his step, didn't he? I'll say a little bit going on. We talk tonight a lot about you not being out there, Johannes not being out there, Murph not being out there. Is that going to be a real challenge? I mean, three very top quality players who play the same sort of role, are they able to cover it tonight?
I think so. I think we saw a lot of blokes go through there last week. Our inside mids like Libertore and Bontepelli can go back there and play well off there. But I think it comes back to the boys in the middle. If we get it forward, we can lock it in down there.
You'll have spent some time with him in this part of the ground. One of the all-time favourites of Bulldog supporters, and I know internally as well, Dale Morris. It's good to see him back with the problems he's had with his legs in recent times, but he seems to be going, I won't say as well as ever, but nearly as well as ever.
Yeah, he's probably another one that's taken me surprise, just how consistent he is day in, day out. He's like a real father figure out there, and for all these young blokes, he's really someone they can all lean on and they can really trust.
Where do you think you can get the Kangaroos tonight?
So far this year, our boys in the inside have been phenomenal. And I remember standing back a few times just going, gee whiz, how they're cracking in. And if we can get on top there, we'll go a long way tonight.
What about the drive out to the eastern suburbs and you're just going along the Monash there and it's all beautiful, nice trees and everything going. And then you head out west and there's nothing growing out there at all. No, there's a few trees. But what's the different sort of vibe there from club to club, Matty?
It's very multicultural out west. And right. It's been good so far. I've loved it. Still getting my coffees in Richmond though, but it's not a bad drive out there.
No good coffee shops out that way?
I haven't found one yet, so...
Surely there's something on out there, Swatter, isn't there?
I don't know.
Surely.
I don't go out that way.
All right, so
it's both corridor BT.
Back in a couple of weeks and ready to go.
Yeah, probably 3 weeks.
So just a quick one before we let you go. The Hawthorn game was just an unbelievable game to watch and it had so much emotion right to the last minute. Being out there against your old mates, what was that like?
I was pretty nervous for the game. Didn't know what to expect, but once we got out there, it was a bit of fun and there was a few hellos, a few cheat words and a few boos, which was nice.
Very good. Matty Suckling being our special guest in the commentary box tonight. Good luck coming back from the entry and appreciate you coming up.
Cheers, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And the Suckers.
Matty Suckling on Triple M Football, Swatter.
Yeah, they'll have to cover the loss of Matty and Johannesson and also Bobby Murphy. But it's a big game, Bulldogs and the Kangaroos. Damo?
Yeah, Swatter, we're talking about Richmond before and their troubles. Fremantle, obviously, with their 0-5 start to the year too, they are also looking at what they're doing internally. And one thing they have committed to do, though, guys, is to recontract Aaron Sandilands, despite being seriously injured, as we know, and also being 34. He's 34 late this year. So he entered 2017 as a 34-year-old. He's got a belief that he's actually got more than the 1 year left for what it's worth. And while he's had interest
most
from...
Most blokes of that age do, don't they?
Yeah, but for guys who are 7 foot, it's not often the case, Swatter, but...
Guys who are 7 foot have had their ribs rearranged and removed.
And removed, BT, as you reported. Yeah. And look, there's a hope that he'll get back at some stage, maybe 6-8 weeks from now, but that's not yet a lock-in. But of those players that have got the longer-term injuries, Fife and Johnson being the other two, he seems to be the most or the best position to get back at this stage this year. Fife has all but ruled himself out, and Johnson was operated on during the week almost immediately after Fife, and they're yet to publicly say anything about where he's at, BT, with that tendon issue with his hamstring on Johnson. But there is a fear that he could be done for the year, but at the same time, they don't expect that to be the case, and they haven't made that public
yet. So Fremantle effectively, Darcy, put a line through the year, have they not?
Yeah.
Yeah, it absolutely feels like that. Yeah. And you know what, I suppose when you've got a coach who's got a 4-year deal and they've got the credit in the bank, they have a 5-year deal, and this year's gone, they're not going to have any real meaningful impact on it with all those players out. You know what, it makes sense. Not great for the competition, but I'd be doing that. You'd say, Fife, don't worry about coming back, Michael Johnson. Don't even think about it. You wouldn't play Sandilands.
Let me ask you this, Darcy. Based on Ross Lyon's coaching tenure at St Kilda and Frio, are you confident he can rebuild a list?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think they wouldn't have signed him if they hadn't have asked that question. I've got no doubt in my mind that he went to them and said, this is how this trajectory is going to work. We have got an ageing group. We're going to lose Pavlich. We're going to lose Mundy. We're going to have a whole group. So, you know what? If you want me, you know what? I want to win a premiership. You need to give me this amount of time. Mm. There's going to be a serious dip. Maybe not as severe as 0-5. Yes. But it's probably anticipated. The board are probably aware of it. And you know what? There's a lot of talk about free agents that they're targeting and whether they get Hogan or get one or two others. And I think he's up for the challenge of doing it.
And Cam McCarthy, some late news coming through there, Damo.
Well, not so much late news, just I suppose, a fresh analysis on it, BT. We know that there were two first-round draft picks on the table for him last year, one being the one from last year's draft from Fremantle, and they also had put on the table the one for this year, so the future draft pick in the first round. And while last year, when that conversation was being had, I think the projections were, I think, from the footy world, that we're looking at a top-four team at the worst and you know, maybe top five. Let's go top five. So you're looking at maybe pick, 15, 16 maybe. Right now, you're looking at pick two or better. So there's just another angle on that McCarthy situation.
Because
he's not going back. Yeah, he's not going back to GWS. I mean, they will spend the year saying, well, we're going to look after him and we'll let him train and run for the Waffle Club. But they have privately conceded he isn't coming back. And he's just also indicated to them he isn't coming back.
I told Damo that Wayne Campbell's first day on the job, he went up to GWS, said hello, and jumped straight on the plane and went straight over.
That
his
is
first,
true.
First point of business was to go and do that. Kicked 32 goals in the first 8 or 9 games last year, thereabouts. McCarthy was absolutely flying at that stage. So he can play.
Dealing with a lot of issues, which are unrelated to footy, issues that need to be resolved before he gets near what's required to be an AFL player, and everyone's aware of that. He's put his hand up and acknowledged that, and he feels part of the process now is to go and train with this local Fremantle club. And yeah, look, he needs to break the contract, though, BT, to get out of it, because he's contracted for GWS for next year as well.
If he's in good enough frame of mind to train with, I think it's East Fremantle over there at the moment, yep, then you know, what's going on? Why can't he train with GWS?
Because it's a long way away, 6,000 right, or 4,500 kilometres away.
So do you see it as a mental health issue, or do you see it as a guy that just simply wants to get back to his home state?
And the first part of that question, BT, I really loathe delving into that topic publicly, because I don't understand it, I don't claim to, and you're relying on other people to tell you. But there is a diagnosis that he's been given, and which they're happy to make public. I cannot recall it off the top of my head, and it's in my notebook here, but I don't know where to find it. But look, it is a situation that he's dealing with, and all clubs are aware.
Damon, leaving that aside, and I'm not being trivial about that at all, yep, if that's the case, Bristol, but if you had a player that decided that in his health, he wanted to extend his contract for 3 years, was a gun young, and then a short time afterwards decides, actually, I've got no interest in living in this state, I've got no interest apart from being anywhere else apart from Perth, would you be speaking to the manager and saying, what the hell just happened there? How did you actually want an extended contract, and then you're so adamant that we've lost a player over that period of time? That'd be strange. We had to offer you an apology this week, Bristol, which pains me to do that to you at any stage. Yes. I have to admit, but you rang in and demanded it, and and I, for what it's worth, put my hand up and do it again. There was a story around Swatter and the Warrior that a man had tried to smuggle a chainsaw into the MCG underground car park on his way into the football. Yeah. Now, it was a rumour that was out there. So all roads, of course, lead to the farmer from Romsey, our man with the Brisbane moustache.
There's a few that struck off the list.
Well, we had to go through a few early. So we got a lot of calls through saying Drew Morfitt was a suspect. He rang in fairly outraged, Drew, and said, I do own a chainsaw, it's not me. The King Wayne Carey has bought a bit of land, Swatter, as you know.
Well, you don't need a chainsaw on volcanic rock, though, does
it? Well, he ruled himself out.
Jared Watley.
He wouldn't have done it.
A lot of people thought Jared wouldn't be able to lift a chainsaw, so that ruled Jared out. And so it was a high-profile media. I think it might have been linked to Channel 7. You thought, well, who could that possibly be? You wouldn't believe, after a number of days, Damon, we did a lot of... It was an investigative-style report.
Mick Malloy investigative-style report.
Followed this all the way through. All roads led to one man, and he's on Channel 7 at the moment, Hamish McLaughlin, who came on...
Polo player.
Well, that's right. We thought he was more likely to have a polo mallet than a chainsaw in his boot. He came on and told us that for the last 4 weeks, not only has he had a chainsaw in there, he checks it in... like a like an item, like a coat, downstairs at the MCG every week.
He takes it out of the car.
The man gives him a green ticket. He gives him his chainsaw. And in fact, last week, because we're on air late, was with him on Sunday night, his chainsaw is still in the cloakroom at the MCG. Oh, man. So...
Along with JB's dozen bottles of Hill of Grace.
Now, is that confirm that?
Well, it was a dozen bottles. We like to think Jim Money drinks wine that's $250 a bottle, BT, and above.
Yeah, he's that sort of operator.
I think he was actually saying that it wasn't quite worth as much as that does, but he did get a box of wine taken out of his car.
All these people, these new security guys at the MC, I reckon are doing a fantastic job. So
really? You've had a good response, Bristol?
I've been searched, and I'm happy to be searched. You know, top to bottom, no problems at all.
We know that you like to park underneath the MCG, and they're very prized possessions, the blue passes.
I haven't got under there lately.
No problems at all for you this year? Everything okay?
Did we walk past an establishment in South Melbourne a couple of weeks ago, BT, and you made reference to them selling some paper that you put to good use?
Damo.
Did you?
Damo.
No, BC? Damo. I don't know what you're talking about there. And whether you're talking about the Herald Sun or what you're talking about, I've got no idea.
Very rare to get warned off in the Triple M box. In fact, I reckon out of the seven years that I've been there, I don't think I've ever seen anyone have a big shake of their head and just do not go there, Damo.
Stop talking to me.
If you want to catch some blues with the media guys coming in to work, go to Gate A. On any day there's a game on at the MCG, and just sit there with your camera and there'll be someone like the Duck comes in. He's got no pass or anything, and he just, you know, the face is his pass, as he always says. The Duck, it's just horrific there. Some of the stories they get on Gate A is incredible.
Wouldn't they find some shotgun pallets or casings in your
which
car?
Which is possible.
I mean, because you need to use it on your property for legitimate reasons. All the time. Yeah, I'm not suggesting anything untoward there, but
the head of the AFL is a farmer, Gillon McLachlan. He's a farmer.
He wouldn't shoot anything, though, would he?
Probably
like
wouldn't
you.
Drive the ute in, would he?
Not a lot of manual labour for Gillon. There'd be a few butlers, I think.
But
doing,
was that? Could that have ever been a story with Hamish, given that he is the brother of the boss of our game?
Yeah, it's a story. Yeah, media person.
Funny.
Found with a...
Funny little story.
I think it's a story.
Speaking of stories, Damo, let me run one by you. This one's got more of a serious tone to it. And you know how we work here is that if there's something that comes up, you deliver it directly and personally to the person involved. Now, Damo, I know you take this very seriously, so I'm not mucking around here. I didn't see the footy show last night. I was out, but I understand you went with a story last night about Dane Swan, that he could be paid out next season because his career could end through injury and that the payout could occur. Now, our friends at Channel 7 Bristol, there's been a little bit of drama down there and that one Tom Brown went with that story a matter of weeks ago on 7 News. That was...
So what is it you're saying here, Dust? Just so before I do respond, like you want me to, what is it you're saying to me, Dust?
You've ripped off Tommy's story, Damo, and pointed off as your own.
For someone who watches a lot of other media operations, as Tom does, because we know he does, because he does tweet a lot of observations about other people in the media, as Tom does. He missed what I was reporting last night, Dust. What I was reporting last night was the fact that Dane Swan could actually earn more money next year to not actually play the game of football than he could to actually play the game of football. That $400,000 figure is something that he could get under an insurance policy from the AFL, and that would be if the injury that he's got was deemed to be a career-ending injury. And I think that may be what Tom Brown is referring to, that he may have referred to that some time ago. But my point was that the contract offer that he will get from Collingwood BT is probably going to be less than the figure he could get out of the insurance policy. So he's in a situation. If he doesn't play again from now, he actually could earn more out of football next year by not playing. And that was the point. And a bit like the Richmond story too, though. I wasn't trying to make a massive thing about it, but...
Did you feel like maybe you could have credited Tommy and just said, Tommy went with a version of this and I'm just going to add a little bit to it? Do you think that might have been...
It wasn't the story, Darce.
Different story altogether.
Well, what was that noise? Ding, ding? Well, that's Darce's mobile. What's he saying, Tommy?
A couple of little messages coming through.
Little Tommy's just...
He should probably go and try and find his own stories on a more regular basis than worry about what other journos are doing, which is something that he seems to be obsessed with, Tom.
Just letting it rip there is a Damo. Very nice. Hey, by the way, Cloak, you're talking about Collingwood and Dane Swan. Travis Cloak.
Yeah, Michael Gleeson, and just to attribute stories, Tom, in the Age BT, did say during the week that his contract could be significantly reduced, and Michael Gleeson, who's a very good journalist, speculated that it could be as half what he's on this year. I'm not privy to those financial arrangements, BT, other than to know that the story's on the mark in that there will be a reduction in the financial parts of Cloak's contract next year. That is the tack-on year, Schwatter. The fourth year is this year from the new Collingwood contract he got when the Fremantle offer came and was rejected, and there was an option on the fifth year. So that's what is in place for next year. And look, Collingwood,
either
way...
So how does he switch that option off? What can he do between now and the end of the year to switch that option off?
It's a good question, and I'm trying to find out actually if it's totally his option to call.
Right.
Look, you can't say anything in footies for certain. I believe Clark will be there next year, but even if he and Swan are on the list next year, there's a situation where the club could get $800,000 more than they've got right now in paying those two players going into 2017, which will clearly allow them to go and do what they did in the most recent off-season, that is target a big-name player in Adam Treloar.
Any market value, Darce, in Travis Clark?
I think so. Yeah. I think someone that was at the window where they thought they were competing, to have a 430-plus goal forward who's physically still... There's no sign of him not being at his physical best. And a two-time All-Australian forward who can seriously play. I think fair bit of responsibilities on Trav, but as a coaching group, you'd like to back him that you could get him back to his best at 29 years of age.
As we've said though, Darce, it's not just this year that the slump has occurred. It has been a two-season prior to these five-game slump, and you have to look at it that way. 2013 was his last really good Travis Cloke-style A-grade year. 14 was okay, 15 was a drop-away again.
Yeah, I mean,
I think there's questions now
there
about
is, yeah, there's some
the,
form
the
questions
ability for him to come back.
How hard do clubs go after a marquee forward who can stand there and take contested marks and kick big bags of goals? I mean, they do anything in their power. You're not going to pay the premium that you would have at 25 or 26, but I'm convinced someone would have a go at Travis Cloke if Collingwood were starting to doubt whether they wanted him.
If North Melbourne didn't win this year, the premiership, and Drew Petrie decided to retire, would they think they're still very much in the window if they can fill that position?
What they've done has been prepared to take risks on older players. Jared Waite was 32 years of age before he played his first game for North Melbourne. He's now 33, and look, all indications are he'll go in again. It's a good question, BT. I don't know whether they'd want to go near the money that he's currently on or even half that potentially. But at the same time, they're prepared in recent times to make such a bold call.
Boy, are we hearing some things that are quite disturbing that are only answerable, not on the Friday rub, but tomorrow on the Saturday rub. Our good skipper, James Brayshaw, is going to have a little bit to answer for tomorrow, so stay tuned for that.
Well, he's been moonlighting by all sounds reports, like BT, tonight.
To one of the other mobs, that's what a...
What do you mean?
JB.
What frequency?
Thought that no one would be listening, so he thought, it was a good opportunity to talk himself up.
This is a man.
And let everyone know exactly how I rearranged Triple M.
And North.
And North, and just stepping away now that everything's happy. And stay tuned for that.
It's extraordinary. This will be explosive when it comes out. I'll be tuning in tomorrow when Jim comes back on. This is a man who's actually declared he's never listened to the AM dial. Physically has never, ever pushed a button and never heard. So he's just done an 8-minute spot with Gerard Waitley, from what I understand, and a podcast that we're just trying to get a bit of now that is just some of the most extraordinary stuff we've ever heard from Jim, our leader, self-proclaimed leader, Rob Bristol.
Yep, we will have that from noon tomorrow, and he just organised everything. Even the CEO was pushed to one side while Jim made some decisions on everyone's future. I wondered why I got the flick. Now it's all coming to me.
This is a man off the top who also suggested, and I'll be fair here, he said, if all the moons align, I will do several laps of honour around the MCG if I take out the cup as the reigning president. And, good luck getting me off the green stuff.
He's their legislation not allowing to be the chairman next year, although he just pushed that off for JB. I suspect that that's killing him because I can't see them quite winning this year. I'd absolutely piss myself laughing if they won next year. It would be very, very funny.
He'll be working on that legislation, Damo, I'm sure. Well, he'll want an extended term.
I actually have been asking him that question as a news story, for news story reasons, Darce, and he's adamant that, his time's up. So
really?
If he changes that, he's going against what he's been saying. And look, Ben Buckley has been... highlighted in that board's discussions for some time, and he will be the man that takes over as of Jim departing.
Both teams out here warming up as we speak and going through that process and part of the day. Damo, just the teams are out for the rest of the week, so the remaining squad positions have been finalised.
Just with the Sunday team, just a couple of the highlights out of it, BT. The Sydney Swans have confirmed Alir as the replacement for Ted Richards, and I love that backstory there. Kenyan board, Sudanese refugee, came to Australia at the age of 7, Schwatter, and done some really hard yards initially in the Waffle in 2013 and a couple of years on the Swans list, and is coming in with full confidence of the Sydney Swans coaching staff. Brisbane Lions BT decided to rest Shacky for his first game of the season. It is just a resting, and that's obviously just a young player being managed. Essendon gets back into the team some of the top-ups, Crowley, Simpkin and Polking. Horn Bird is injured and Gleeson is omitted. Now the big one here too, guys, Collingwood has omitted Aish, the big recruit, or one of the three big names they got over the off-season, but he's been omitted. Varko's missing, as we know, with the hamstring, and Adam's out with the knee. Into that team comes Langdon, Broomhead and Sinclair from the team that was selected last night.
Anyone seen enough of Aish to be able to say yay or nay, or whether you like what you're seeing?
No, I haven't, to be perfectly honest with you. It was a pick, or 10 or 11, or a high draft pick, and you would expect that you know, probably around now you'd be starting to see, you know, a couple of really good breakout games, which he hasn't, you know, from I've seen Collingwood live a couple of times where he's played, he hasn't been in great touch, but I haven't seen enough of him to say that maybe
pick,
that...
Pick seven he was to us.
Pick seven, was he? Mm. Yeah, okay.
Was it the Lewis Taylor Rising Star year where he finished, I think, fourth in it, was it? Or he finished fourth in a Rising Star outcome.
It was, yeah,
one
his
year.
First year.
It was the same year. Yeah. So he's dropped off from that, hasn't he? And look, Brisbane Lions people, I don't think they handled the situation well, and what they've decided to do since there is not be so public with their negotiations around out-of-contract players. Sam Mays is in that boat right now, by the way. But at the same time, they weren't that worried about losing him. They've been worried about losing some players, and probably Elliot Yeo's as big a name as any of they've lost. But when it came to James Aish, they wanted to keep him if they could, but they weren't that worried when he walked out. And we may be just seeing why, that he's maybe not yet ready and at the standard to play every single week in a significant way.
All right, the final changes there for Sunday. GWS Academy talent update, Damo, where is all that at?
Yeah, I'll be quick with this, BT, because it's something that will come into play and get some greater recognition around the draft time. But there's nine Academy players this year on the GWS books. Five of those nine, by the estimations of people from other clubs, BT, are top 25 material. So GWS has been given access through its academy to five players through no other reason than they are under their academy that are going to go top 25 in a pure market sense, Schwatter. So there's already issues with the non-clubs who have the academies, they being Sydney Swans, GWS, Brisbane Lions, and also Gold Coast. And it's going to get even more ugly, I think, too, Dust, because there's already anger around it. They picked up four players from your academy last year. The Sydney Swans have picked up two who, in an open market, may have been number one picks in consecutive years. And the GWS situation, they've already had 25 first-round draft picks on their list. They also had 10 under-17s or 17-year-olds they could pick up. So you could make that 35 first-round draft picks that they've had already in their 5 years in the AFL, BT. And sure, they're now being gifted in the eyes of these other clubs. Players who have grown up playing footy all their life in well-established Australian...
So the Riverina area you're talking about, mainly, mostly, is where they mostly, just, you know, where with some of the greatest players that play the game have come out of there. Swatter, that would have been... Paul Kelly would have been from the Riverina.
Yep.
And does Wagga...
Wagga,
the King, Johnny Longmire. And you're saying that that is just going to be rivers of gold to GWS, not going to have to put all the extra attention into it. It's interesting, isn't it?
They almost
will the
don't need...
Sorry, Damo. Will the pressure be enough from the other clubs to force a change?
It's of that nature. They're at a wit's end, to use a term that was given to me yesterday, swatted by one person from one club, that they've recorded it with the AFL, their complaints.
I don't see it changing.
No, they actually don't see it changing.
Because the AFL need the Giants to
and
be
that's
successful.
When it probably will change.
When are we getting close to things being even in this competition?
We never do.
When were the money going to be even? When are the draft picks going to be even? When are these academies going to be even? Why can't we just be like the NFL or the NBA, where it's just the
where
best players in the country and where you finish? And yes, there's the lottery for the last four teams or whatever.
Yep.
How far away from that
it's
are we?
Good question you asked, Bruce. And I think we're sitting here tonight, 1v2. Can't wait to see the Kangaroos and the Bulldogs, who have had no extra assistance. In fact, they've paid paid less than 100% of the salary cap for a number of years. What they're competing against is Sydney, who's had up to $2 million worth, have been socially engineered at times. I mean, I'm sure by the AFL, because they needed that to be the case. And now you're going to compete against the franchise teams, using American, who are just absolutely being loaded up to make sure that they are successful. And it's you can only take the piss for so long, I reckon. And the Victorian clubs that have not been able to compete fairly, I think it will start to have an impact at some point.
There's compensation issues too, BT, by way of clubs losing free agents. And in its purest form, you don't get any compensation for losing a free agent. They need to get their heads around the AFL. They did it because they had a 50 cent each way bet when they first introduced it 4 years ago. And it's just stifling the whole situation. We see it's actually creating an environment where the rich get richer on the back of what was something set up to where the poor were meant to get richer, so to speak. Just back on GWS before we let that topic go, BT. As it stands, they've got three first-round picks this year coming up. They've got their own pick from their own ladder position. They've got the pick from Treloar, the future first-round pick from Collingwood. And another pick which came via Carlton for the Lachie Henderson trade from Carlton to Geelong. So they're beautifully placed already to bring in another big-name players. And they'll offload players currently on their list. Cam McCarthy, we spoke about before. They will get something for him. They'll lose another one of their bigger names as well.
Saw them play live here at this ground last weekend, Swatter, didn't we?
A pretty good.
Fast,
yep.
Competitive, hard,
yep.
Multi-skilled, just young and yep. just ready to go, weren't they?
Yeah, and I shouldn't say substantially, but a fair way in front of the Gold Coast. At this point in time,
yep.
they look really good.
And that is a credit to the way that organisation is being run. Obviously, I'm very close to the coach, Leon Cameron. They've had a lot of issues there trying to retain players and get them. But they play a brand of football that is going to be pretty exciting. So they're going to be a great side this year. And the next couple of years are going to be pretty scary.
What's acceptable tonight here, Darce and Swatter, in terms of crowd? We heard JB say when he was here earlier tonight that he thought that 40 plus needed to be the figure that they aimed at.
I'd be disappointed for that. The crowd below that.
You would be, wouldn't you, if you didn't get 40 plus. It's a North Melbourne home game yep. tonight, and they have increased the charge of some of the tickets, not all of them, just some of the tickets.
Yeah, look, I would hope that you get some neutral supporters. I think you get all the Bulldog supporters that you can tonight. I hope 40 plus, 45 would be a chance, and that'd be a pretty good turnout tonight, and I don't think you'd be disappointed in the game. If you do come, the conditions are going to be brilliant.
Darce, I haven't heard your view on this. BT and I spoke about it on the Rub last week. I haven't heard yours either, Schwatter. Hawthorn winning matches of football on the back of an umpire intervention. Do you have a strong view on what happened 2 weeks ago in Launceston when the 15-metre kicks were paid against St Kilda, and what happened again last week with either decisions made or not made at the MCG?
Isaac Smith.
Just the way it goes sometimes, don't they? Sometimes you have a couple of weeks where it just goes your way and you ride that luck. Other times they don't. I mean, I don't tend to buy too much into that. There's no conspiracy theory they've definitely had a few have been beneficial to them. There's no doubt about that, but no more than that. That just is what happens at times, as frustrated as we get by it.
Got no issue with it, Damo. Darce is right. Sometimes it goes your way, other times you don't.
Not so much the conspiracy theory. Is there an intimidation factor to this mighty outfit?
Well, you could say the same thing about the WA teams when they play at home. They have a disproportionate free kick count against the teams that travel to WA. So
probably
I don't have an issue.
Melbourne, didn't it, in the prelim final against West Coast.
Have had a significant amount of free kicks playing at home.
Now, just as we go to the break, this is why I think the banners are finished, and this is why I think we should get rid of them. We look at the Western Bulldogs out here. They're Motley Crew. 30 people out there. Trying to put a banner up, right?
This is a great moment of their life, Bristol.
It's
one of the great traditions of the game.
It's fan engagement.
They get in the CWA hall during the week and they make it up to Craig Parker, and then no one can even bust through it. You go to the other end, and James Brayshaw, who's invented and done everything to do with the media, he's created the whole thing. It's been a James Brayshaw whirlwind. He's decided they're just going to go with an air-filled, with a curtain, blimp above, and just a curtain. And look at the poor old North Melbourne. Only six or seven of them get to come on the ground.
People with the air conveyance there,
BT. Get rid of the lot. This is a reason we could have a block of concrete on each end of the blimp down there, and that would hold it, no problems at all. We could get all of these I mean, players can't get on this ground, Damo. They're not allowed on it.
Let them have their moment, BT. It's special to them, and you know that the people who have supported that club, the Bulldogs,
look at them all. Do we need all of them out there? Does it take that many people to lift two 4x2s with a bit of crepe paper attached to it?
But does it hurt you for them to be out there?
Oh, I've had enough, Swatter.
He doesn't like kids. He doesn't like supporters. He doesn't like banners.
Yeah.
He's just a strange,
one-man wrecking machine, Darce. If he doesn't like it, it's out of the game.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.